Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for our consideration is taken from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Allow me to reread verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. This is the word of our God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, did they ever find out why they were spared? As the residents of Zoar looked out at the countryside, it must have looked like an apocalyptic movie. All the cities around them were burned. You see, the time had come for the cities and the plains for judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah had been mocking God with their relentless sinful behavior for too long, and now it's time for God to show them that God cannot be mocked. So fire and brimstone came down from heaven and burned up the cities. All the cities except that one city, Zoar. Unbeknown to them why they were spared. But do you remember why they were spared? Because of the prayer of one man, Abraham. We heard a part of the story in the Old Testament lesson. The Lord in his love and his mercy came down and talked to Abraham and told him what he was about to do. He told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sinfulness. And Abraham knew that should happen, but he had this compassion for the believers that were still left in the city. So you remember the prayer that I just read for you. Abraham's humble yet persistent, bold, and confident prayer. Lord, surely you won't destroy the wicked with the righteous. Lord, if there are 10 believers there, save the city. Well, there weren't. But you remember how God answered Abraham's prayer anyhow? He sent angels into the city of Sodom to rescue his nephew Lot. You see, his nephew Lot and his family had been there the last couple years. So he sent these angels into the city to rescue Lot. And when Lot and his family hesitated, the angels practically had to drag them out of the city. And then the angels told Lot to take his family and flee to the mountains. But Lot said, "We can't make it that far. Let us just go to that city of Zoar." So the Lord granted their request, and they went to the city of Zoar. So that morning, the residents of Zoar woke up, and they looked, and all around them, all the cities were burned except theirs. Wonder if they ever found out why. And if they did, would they ever believe that it was because of the prayer of one righteous man, a man that they probably never even met before, Abraham? Did the people of Israel ever find out? Wicked King Ahab had led his people into idolatry, into godlessness. They were on a path just like Sodom and Gomorrah. So God had told them that if you ever walk that way, I'm going to stop sending rain on the earth as a harsh call to repentance, as a harsh call to you to turn from your sinful ways. So he sends Elijah the prophet to go and tell King Ahab that. So Elijah prays, and the rain stops. For 3.5 years, the fields are dried up. The food stores are empty. The brooks and the rivers are dried up. And then after 3.5 years, after that harsh call to repentance, Elijah bows his head and prays again, and the Lord sends rain on the land. Did the people ever find out why? And if they did, would they recognize and believe that it was because of the prayer of one man? That's how powerful prayer is. And that's just examples from the Bible. A ton more. I always picture prayer this way. Imagine a father driving his riding lawnmower in the yard. He picks his son up on his lap, and he places his son's little hands on the top of his big, powerful man hands, and he allows his son to kind of steer a little bit, but never letting him veer off course and into any kind of danger, but giving him the satisfaction and the honor and the pride to be able to steer a while. That's kind of like prayer, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father places our little hands on the top of His big, powerful hands. And with our prayers, coupled with His knowledge and His wisdom, He allows us to offer our input. Not that He needs it, but so that we feel special and loved. And through the prayer of a man, a city was saved. Through the prayer of another man, rain was withheld, came down. And as we look in James, through prayer, people are healed. Prayer is powerful. It's a powerful tool that God has given us. And coupled with God's power and his wisdom, it's all surrounded by God's love. So that our prayer can never cause harm to anyone else, never cause any disaster for us or for other people. That's the power of prayer. Listening into our sermon text for today, verse 13, if you'd like to follow along. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. We have a pretty amazing God, a God who showers us with his love. One of the most amazing promises that God gives us is providence, the fact that God will always provide for us, that God will always give us what we need for our daily, always give us our daily bread, like Jesus taught the disciples in the gospel lesson. He will always give us what we need for our everyday lives. But he also gives us this gift of prayer, which is applicable in every situation, James shows us. Whether you're happy or sad, whether things are going well or not so well, whether you're healthy or whether you're hurt, prayer is always a powerful tool, a powerful gift that God has given to us. And the only way we can mess it up is doing it. And sadly, oftentimes our prayer life is characterized by that, by not praying. Think of how many times you've been stressed out or troubled at work or at home or just in life in general, and always sometimes the last case, the last straw, the last thing you do is to pray. Now, not supposed to be a substitute for action, but action is not supposed to be a substitute for prayer either. Think about back through your life as you've prayed about different things, and isn't it amazing how sometimes as you pray, how quickly God tends to answer those prayers at different times? And when he does that, how quickly we forget to say a prayer of thanks. How quickly we forget to pause and just say, thank you, Lord, for answering this prayer or for giving me this job or making this work out for my family this way or making that sickness go away. Thank you, Lord, for that. Sometimes we forget. The only way we can mess up prayer is just by not praying. And if we're not praying, it's usually a sign of a bigger danger. You see, as Christians, we believe these great things about our God, these different qualities, that we have a God who is love, that we have a God who is always here, and that we have a God who always acts on our behalf. As Christians, we believe that. So it's often been said that for a Christian, prayer is as natural as breathing. Knowing that God is always love, knowing that God is always here and that he always acts, of course, as Christians, we want to bring to him anything and everything. The good things, the bad things, the worries, the concerns, because we know that he will never turn us away. He's our Father who loves us unconditionally. But oftentimes we don't pray. And it's usually because some kind of a sin is withholding us. The devil is using something somehow in this world to try to grab us away from our Heavenly Father. And if for a while there, we can become blurred with God's qualities, blurred about his love for us, blurred about the fact that he's always here for us, and that he always acts on our behalf. And if we're not praying, we're spiritually choking. James urges us to simply just pray. Whatever it is that's stopping us from praying, he says, confess it, get rid of it, take the time to talk to your Heavenly Father. Confess that sin and trust that in Christ all those sins have been absolutely forgiven. Don't let anything take away that wonderful gift of prayer and all the other blessings that Jesus won for you as well. Think of the lengths that God went to give you that gift of prayer. It says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Not one of us is born righteous. We're all born absolutely dead in our transgressions and sins. So God sent his own son Jesus to be righteous for us. God sent his own son Jesus, who lived a perfectly righteous life in our place, and then willingly went to a cross to die for all of your sins. My sins of not praying, your sins of worrying. He died for all of them, washing us clean and covering us with Christ's righteousness so we can have that gift of prayer, the gift to be able to talk to our Heavenly Father 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he sends the Holy Spirit, too, to care for us, to pray for us. And if you can't express the words, the Holy Spirit takes those prayers, perfectly lays them out before the Father's throne for us. What a wonderful gift. And your Heavenly Father always listens to all of his children all the time. And he always acts. Always acts according to his will for your eternal good. Think about what an honor of a position you have. That you have unlimited access to the throne of grace. To tell your Father anything. You know what it's like when your son calls that you haven't talked to in a while, how excited you get. Your Heavenly Father loves to hear from you. He loves to hear your worries. He loves to hear your concerns. He loves to hear what's on your heart, and he promises to carry all those for you to the cross. One of the people in Zoar found out why they were spared. One of the people of Israel realized that it was Elijah that was praying to have the rain stop and start again. Sometimes we don't always see the answer to our prayers. You see, God often hides himself. He hides himself in his word and his sacrament because he wants us to see him by faith and not by sight. But he gives us this wonderful gift. His only son, Jesus, shed his blood so that we could have that wonderful gift of prayer to talk to our Heavenly Father. Use it. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for our church body. Pray for the nation. Pray for our armed forces. Pray for the government. Pray for the president. Pray for the world. It's the greatest gift God has given you. Prayer. James takes us to that a familiar arena of prayer. Takes us to the hospital room. Maybe you've been there. Think of the last time you were in the hospital. Think of your loved one hooked up with those tubes, those hoses, the machines beeping and blinking. Think of the nurses coming in, giving different pills and writing down different things on the chart and hooking them up to other different blinking and beeping machines. And those machines can do some pretty cool things, can't they? They have the power in their own way to kind of heal. But you have the greatest, most powerful tool in your back pocket, the power of prayer. Take the time there to cast your worries and concerns on your Lord and Savior, and he promises to answer them in a way that is for your eternal good. And sometimes the answer is yes, and your loved one slowly but surely heals and comes out of the hospital. And that sometimes the doctors are amazed at how quickly they recovered. And sometimes our all-knowing, our all-loving, and our all-powerful God allows the sickness to worsen and maybe even end in death. But even in that moment, realize that our Father's hands are guiding the wheels of the universe, and our hands are on top. And that somehow, some way, that is for your eternal good, and prayer is still powerful and effective. God guides it all for your eternal good. So seize the day to pray. Amen. And? Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.